الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were discussing what the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to the comparison of the nakhla, the palm tree, to the tree of faith in the heart of a believer. And in the book of Allah is the comparison of a tree, the good tree, with the good word. This is the creed and the belief in the heart of a believer. And likewise in the sunnah is the comparison of this tree, the nakhla, specifically, the palm tree, to that of a believer himself, to that of a believer himself. And we have seen a number of resemblances between these affairs. And there are a few to mention left, yani, before closing this discussion. And from them is that which the people of knowledge mention with regards to a nakhla. And they say about the nakhla, the palm tree, that the longer it's alive, the better it becomes. The longer and the older this particular tree is alive, of course, when it's nourished properly, the better it becomes, the more beneficial it becomes, and the sweeter the fruit in this manner like this. So this is something specific to this tree. The longer it's alive, the sweeter and the better it becomes, and the more beneficial. And likewise, a believer in the same manner, the longer he's alive and upon his faith, the better he becomes, and the more upright he becomes, and the more sincere and steadfast he becomes. And it's been collected authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he informed the companions of the best of the people sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Khayrukum man tala umruhu wa hasuna amaluhu." The best of you is the one who has a long life. His lifespan is long, and his deeds are good. And so this is from the way of a believer. As his life continues every day, he will grow in his faith, and he will strengthen in his religion and in his deen, and he will become firm by the permission of Allah. And therefore, the benefit that he has along with him will be more, and he will become steadfast day in and day out, and stronger every day by the permission of Allah. But likewise, in the same narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the worst of the people, the worst of the people, man tala umruhu wa sa'a amaluhu, the one who has a long life and he has foul and bad deeds. The one who has a long life and he has foul and bad deeds. And he's the opposite of that. And he's so the one who lives a long time, but he never rectifies his situation, and he continues upon it a bad way. He's just filling his scales. And he's filling his scales with bad and evil deeds, and weighing and burdening his soul down with filth and disobedience in this manner. So therefore, with regard to this individual, a long life is not a blessing for him, because his deeds are only a proof against him and a means for his destruction. So therefore, the fact that he lives a long time is just a reason for him to be further away from the mercy of Allah and to have more of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, the good believer, every day is better for him. And as he grows older in his age, and likewise in his faith, he becomes stronger and better. He becomes stronger and better and more upright and more steadfast and more forbearing and more patient and more understanding and more humble and more submissive and more obedient and more kind and more merciful and more repentant and more able to recognize his own faults and mistakes and to seek pardon for them and forgiveness for them and to try to rectify them, so on and so forth. This is the case of the believer, and this comparison likewise is with that of the date palm, of the palm tree. Another example the people of knowledge they mention, or resemblance that is also beautiful, they mention with regards to the nakhla. The nakhla is the palm tree that compared to the rest of the tall trees, specifically the tall trees, to benefit from this tree is very easy, and it's not hard. And to obtain the fruits of this tree and to benefit from the fruits and of this tree is something that is facilitated and easy. It's something that is facilitated and easy. Many times the tree will not be so tall, so he could just reach up and grab the fruits of the tree, from the ground. And even if the tree is tall, very tall. Compared to the other tall trees, it's very easy to climb. And palm tree, it's as if it has steps and handholds ready for a person to climb up it, and makes it easy and facilitated to reach the top and to harvest and to take the fruits. And he compared to the other trees. So likewise, a believer, if he's strong in his faith and well-grounded in his religion, he's easy to deal with. And he's not hard to deal with and to get along with. And this is the case. This is the case of the believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about the believer asking a question. Allah khbirukum biman yahrumu ala an-nar aw biman tahrumu alayhi an-nar. Should I not inform you of the one who is forbidden from the fire, or whom the fire is forbidden from? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, kullu hayyin and layyin and sahlin qareebin min an-nas. Every easy and kind and easy to deal with person who's close to the people. And this is from the traits of a believer, that he's easy to deal with and it's easy to benefit from him. And he is not harmful, and he's kind and he's soft and the likes like this. And this is the case of a believer in general. So likewise, the day tree is also easy to benefit from. And this is a beautiful resemblance. Another resemblance that I have found and pondered over myself, alhamdulillah, thinking about this affair, also something that I have seen here, with the trees in Georgia, is that what we know is that the trees, they have to have provision. They have water that provides life for them. And the resemblance of that for the tree in the faith is the revelation and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Sunnah. And there are other ways likewise. This is the foundation of that. This is the foundation of that. This is the fundamental means for the nourishment of the tree of faith, and the heart is from the revelation, from the revelation of the Quran and the Sunnah, and pondering and reflecting over these affairs. This is the life for the tree of faith in the heart. But a tree, barakallahu fikum, many times it has to have just enough. If the tree does not get enough provision, does it not get enough water, then it will wither or it will not thrive. And if it did not wither, it would not thrive in the manner that it could. And if it had the proper irrigation, or if it's cut off enough, then it will wither and it will wither up and become weak and the likes like this. But if it's provided with the proper provision, it will flourish and it will grow and it will have much beauty and benefit. But likewise, if the tree is given too much water, if it's drowned in water, what happens to the tree? It could kill it. And likewise, many times what I'm referring to is what I have seen here in Georgia, that sometimes the rain will come and it will come so much. And sometimes it will come to a point. It will come down the hill into a point and it will flood the ground. It will flood the ground until the ground around some of those tall trees becomes very soft and very weak. And the roots are not able to hold on now. And one of those very large trees will fall because of the ground had become extremely wet. So much water had loosened the dirt and the ground around the roots that it was not able to hold the weight of the tree, and it falls. So this is the example, and Allah knows best, of a person who goes to extreme in the religion. Too much water of the tree will kill it or weaken it or and the likes in this manner, or could even uproot it in this manner, which has been mentioned. And likewise, if a person, he goes to extremes with the religion, if he goes to extremes with the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it would destroy him. It's been narrated from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is in Bukhari and other than that, if it's not mutafiqun alayhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna hadha deena yusrun. Inna hadha ad-deen yusrun. Verily, this deen is easy. It's facilitated. The legislation of this deen, that which is obligatory and that which is permissible, that which is required and that which is recommended, that which is forbidden, that which is disliked, all of the affairs of the religion, the one who holds on fast to it, by the permission of Allah, it's easy. It's easy in the legislation. As-samha, meaning that the religion is easy. The legislation of Allah is easy. Anytime there's a hardship or difficulty coming in one of the obligations, lightness comes, ease will come. And the likes like this. And the legislation itself is already easy. The legislation itself is already easy and in the best interest and benefit of the human being. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna hadha dina yusrun." Verily, this religion is easy. وَلَنْ يُشَادَ هَذَا الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. And nobody would try to go to extremes or to be harsh with this religion, except it will overcome him. Except it will overcome him. It will overpower him. Meaning nobody will go extremes with the religion, except then it will cause him to become weak, and it will cause him to leave the straight path. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned from this likewise. In the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma in the Sunan, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ الْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, I warn you, beware and be cautious of going to extremes in the religion, because that was the only thing that destroyed those before you, was going to extremes in the religion. So to go to extremes and to declare something to be haram, that's halal. To believe something to be haram, that's halal. In this manner, this is extremism. This is extremism. Or to believe something that is permissible or is recommended, to believe that it's an obligation, to believe and to take it as an obligation, this is extremism. This is going beyond the boundaries. This is going beyond the boundaries. Yani in this manner, these are examples of that. So a believer, he must know the legislation and be upon insight with regards to that, and traverse upon moderation. And the end of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, wasaddidu waqaribu waabshiru. And wasaddidu, yani try to hit the mark precisely, yani follow the straight path accordingly. Be upright and steadfast upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the moderation. The way of the companions, this is moderation. They're the ones who are upon as-sirat al-mustaqim. As-sirat al-mustaqim is a straight path between two extremes. So the one who is truly traversing upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, radiyallahu anhum, inwardly and outwardly, in creed and in belief, and likewise in worship and in manners and conduct, then he will be on a moderate course. He'll be upon a moderate course in every affair, in his creed, in his understanding, his belief, and his worship, and his manners, and the likes like this. He'll be upon a moderate path. But to go away from that, and either way is going to extremes, either an extreme going overboard or an extreme negligence. Extreme negligence, and falling off from being negligent and not fulfilling the obligations properly, or going too hard and trying to do too much and do that which is extra, and to bear that which one cannot burden, and the likes like this. And the deen, this will overcome him, and he will not be able to continue. This will overcome him, and he will not be able to continue. So this is a beautiful resemblance. Likewise, the tree, if it has too much water, then it will die, or it will be harmed in a great manner, or could even become uprooted. And likewise, a person, if he goes to extremes in the religion, it can lead him to apostate, or could lead him to any away from the sunnah, away from the straight path. It could lead him one time, for example, he'll go to extremes with the night prayer. The example has been made a number of times, but it's very beneficial to understand. Could go to extremes with the night prayer in the beginning, and then in the end, he leaves it. That he will not be able to carry that. The night prayer will overcome him. He will not be able to continue in that manner that he took himself like in that way. Or to, if he's go to extreme with fasting in the very beginning, he wants to fast the fast of Dawood, and he's not experienced in fasting. And then he carried himself upon that way 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, and then maybe it will become hard for him, and he will not be able to fast anymore. Or even another example that people of knowledge have mentioned about this is the one that he will go too hard. And he will go to extremes in the religion, and it will cause him to leave off something that was more beneficial and something that is more better, even leaving off something that's obligatory. From the examples that the people of knowledge they make is the one who stands in the nighttime making the non-obligatory prayer, the night prayer, and striving hard in that affair, and then missing the Fajr prayer because of that. And he becoming so tired at the end of the night, taking a rest and falling asleep and missing the Fajr prayer. And he either altogether until the sun rises, or missing it in congregation. And he has intended to come to the congregation, but because he is striving so hard in the night prayer, now he has missed this great virtue, which takes precedence over that. Likewise, seeking knowledge. And he's seeking knowledge, maybe one who will memorize the Quran and take a great portion, a page a day, or more or less in this manner, and then he will not be able to continue upon that way. And in the end, he will leave it off. Had he taken a quarter of a page a day, or three lines a day, any in the beginning, and carried on that way, after 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you will find he has memorized a great portion. And it's easy for him to review it and for the knowledge to stay. Maybe someone will memorize one page a day for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks. And then after that, it becomes heavy for them. And what's heavier for them than memorizing that page a day is to review that which they had memorized. So therefore, that new page had caused them to forget the 5 pages from the 5 days before. And in the end, they have little benefit. In the end, they have little benefit. But they had, if they had taken on a moderate path and a moderate course, that which they can bear, not too little to where their faith or their efforts is being malnourished, and not too much to where they're overdoing it, where it burdens them, but just enough upon their level, upon their level. And we shouldn't compare ourselves in these non-obligatory actions of worship to others. And some people, we look at the people who do good and try to catch up with them. But some people, they have been upon this way for some time. And other people, they have the blessing of memorization or the blessing of that affair, and it's easy for them. So somebody who is new in this affair, or somebody who is having trouble with memorizing, for example, or establishing these non-obligatory acts, he would not dive in head first in this manner. He would take in and he will wade the waters first. And he will learn how to deal with these affairs, and then he will move and build and build and build. In this manner, he will have goodness. The same way you water the tree, you irrigate it little by little, and it will flourish and it will grow. If it's drowned out, then it will drown. It could even become uprooted. These are some of the benefits or the resemblances between the tree, the palm tree, and likewise the believer and the faith and the heart of a believer. There's one more example that's proceeding from this example that's very beneficial to mention. And Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr, Hafidhullah, he has a small treatise. It's called Ta'amulat. At-Ta'amulat fi Mumathalati al-Mu'min lin-Nakhla. Yani the pondering and reflections of how the believer resembles the palm tree. And it's a small treatise. He mentioned a number of these resemblances with evidences and with any statements from the scholars of the Sunnah. And he's gathered a number of these issues here and referenced them from the statements of the scholars of Tafsir, and likewise the explanations of Hadith, and from the statements of Ibn al-Qayyim. It's very beneficial to return to them. And in this work, he also mentioned this beautiful parable. So far, the issue has been about the parable of a good tree. And likewise, we've seen the bad tree, right? The good tree and the bad tree. Where are the trees at in general? Many times we'll find that the trees they are in, they're in gardens. That the trees, they'll be in a garden, in this case. So now, likewise, we have found that we have a garden. And we have a tree, the tree of faith. It's in the garden, it's in the heart. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his supplications that's been authentic upon him, Allahumma ja'al al-Qur'ana rabi'a li qalbi. Rabi'a qalbi wa nura sadri. Oh Allah, make the Qur'an the rabi'a of my heart. The rabi'a is the time that we're in now, the springtime. If we ponder and reflect over these trees around us, and the plants and the likes around us, and the grass around us, just a few months ago, maybe before Ramadan, many of them were dead. Many of them did not have leaves on them. And many of the grass was dead, and you could see the dirt and the likes like that. Now if we look, now it's all flourishing. Now we find that it's all green and bright, a lot of it. And there's a lot of leaves coming to life. This is from Allah sending the rain. And these are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these plants are coming to life in this manner. That these plants are coming to life to this manner. In what time? In the springtime. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma ja'al al-Qur'ana rabi'a sadri. Oh Allah, make the Qur'an the rabi'a of my chest. Meaning of my heart. And meaning the means to bring it to life. The means to bring it to life. So the heart is like a land. And Allah, he plants that tree. And he has planted that tree in our hearts. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, every believer, he has that tree. Every believer, he has that favor. Allah has chosen him and selected him and planted that tree in his heart. Alhamdulillah. Now it's upon a believer to recognize and realize that, and to cultivate that, and to take the means to protect that, and to cultivate that, and to grow that faith in the heart, and to preserve that, and to maintain that. So therefore, barakallahu fikum, these trees, they require caretakers. And this is the example. A garden, it has to have a farmer. The gardens, they have farmers. And the farmers, they're not all one level and one category. Or they're not all in one status and one rank and their manners in dealing with their gardens. So some of the people, they have they're rude and they're harsh. And other people, they're negligent. And they're lackadaisical and they're forgetful. And this is the case with the garden, with the farmers. All of us, we have a heart. All of us, we have that tree of faith in our heart. So now it has to be like the one who's taking care of that, the farmer. The farmer, the example of the farmer, the Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned this three examples. One of them, he's very agitated and easily to get upset, and he can't take any problems. And if he sees any issue and any wrong with his tree or with his crops in his garden, he will just uproot it automatically. He'll just uproot it automatically. If something goes wrong with the tree, man, get it out of here. And he'll do away with it in this manner. On the other hand, there's other farmers who, whenever they see their crops or their trees and the likes like this, they're very negligent with them. They let the trees mix with whatever, and they think that all the trees are good, no problem, and the likes like this. And he's very negligent with regards to caring for his tree. So both of them, in the end, the outcome is that the tree will become corrupted and uprooted. The example of this here, barakallahu fikum, with the tree of faith, is the example of those two groups who have went to two extremes with regards to the tree of faith. And they are the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila on this extreme here, that cannot take any problems, any issue with regards to that tree. They will remove it automatically. They remove it automatically and cut it from its roots. And as for the other extreme, that's the Murji'ah. And those who believe that nothing will harm the faith, and all the trees are good, and so long as the tree is a tree, alhamdulillah, he's a good tree, and you can do whatever you like with the tree, and it's going to survive, and it's going to live, and it's going to bring benefit. So this is the case. Any the Khawarij, and the Mu'tazila and the likes, with regards to the tree of faith, if they find any deficiency, if somebody committed a major sin, they uproot that man's tree, and they declare him to be a disbeliever. They uproot that man's tree, and they declare him to be a disbeliever. This is because of their foul understanding with regards to the tree of faith. They're not comprehending, and they're not able to picture and visualize this tree properly. So therefore, they think anything that happens to the tree, one branch gets clipped or even a leaf falls off, they're ready to wipe it out. The fruit didn't taste sweet, it was not ripening in the best manner, they're ready to uproot it in this manner. This is the example of the Khawarij. And then on the other extreme, the Murji'ah, they're the ones who believe that iman is one thing, and it never increases and it never goes away, so long as you have faith, and your faith is as strong as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the rest, and the sins do not affect the faith. So therefore, they believe that they're all good in every situation. And then you ask them about the sins, and they say, well, I say La ilaha illallah, and I pray Alhamdulillah. Like this. So this is the other extreme. As for the moderate path, that's the path of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the farmer who recognizes that there are deficiencies in the tree, and he works to rectify that. And he also recognizes that there are means to cultivate the tree, and he works upon that way likewise. And he knows that there are also things that could bring deficiency to the tree or weaken the tree, so he strives to avoid them. And if any weaknesses happen, then he makes the proper means and steps to rectify that and to fix that, and he continues cultivating his tree. And this is the way of Ahl Sunnah with regards to iman. The iman can be strong and cultivated. There are things that nourish it and strengthen it, and there are likewise things that weaken it. And there are means for each of these affairs. So this is the case. So now, in realizing these affairs and remembering these affairs, the believer, he should realize that this tree is growing in his heart. It's there, it's present. So he has to take care of it. He has to have concern for it. He has to realize it. And again, before we begin reading the definition and going back into the book, just to make it clear again, in the example in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that the tree, it has roots. And the tree, it has the foundation. This is the statement, La ilaha illallah. And this is the belief in Allah and everything that Allah has ordered us to believe in, from the pillars of faith. And then the tree, likewise, it has branches. The branches are the righteous actions. Ahsant, nam, the actions, the nam, jazakallah khairah. The branches are the righteous actions, all of the actions of obedience, obligatory and non-obligatory, establishing them, and also leaving and avoiding that which is impermissible. All of these branches, this is for the sake of Allah. All of these are the branches of the tree, the righteous and the good deeds. The righteous and the good speech, and the righteous and the good and noble and upright actions of obedience. These are the branches. And the fruits, they're the benefits that a believer reaps in this life. all of the benefits that come to a believer based upon his faith. All the benefits that he has from contentment and satisfaction and ease and rest that he finds in his heart, and peace, and also humbleness and humility that he finds, and the strong love for Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the good that he has in his heart, and likewise the good that he has coming to him, likewise based upon his faith, from good companionship and noble friends, and all the benefits that come along with all of these affairs, yani in this life and in the grave and the hereafter, all of the benefits that come from the faith, these are the fruits of the tree. So now we can visualize. Now we can visualize the faith. This is in our heart. There's a foundation stemming from there, the actions. From the actions, teaching and seeking knowledge. From the actions, praying. And these are branches. These are branches. So what we're involved right now, for example, this is Iman. We ask Allah to accept from us. This is Iman. Sitting in the masjid is Iman. Coming to the house of Allah is Iman. Establishing the obligatory prayer is Iman. Sitting in the masjid, waiting for the next prayer is Iman. Studying the religion is Iman. All of these affairs, these are Iman. These are branches. Alhamdulillah, right now our branches are growing. Alhamdulillah, this is a branch here that is being watered and being cared for and taken care of daily. Walillah alhamd. So this is the case, and the fruits are coming from that. The fruits that we find, alhamdulillah, from the goodness in our life, from sitting in the gatherings of knowledge, and from establishing the obligations of Allah Azza wa Jal, from learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many benefits have we experienced thus far that we hope to obtain even more in our life? And all of this is stemming. All of this is stemming from the root of faith. The roots of faith. Stemming from the roots of faith. It's coming, proceeding from that great foundation. That great foundation, Shahada and La ilaha illallah. Shahada and La ilaha illallah. Wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And then that which any of this requires and necessitates. So now we begin reading the author, he mentioned Al-Fasl al-Awwal, the first chapter. The first chapter. Fi haddi al-imani wa tafsirihi. This is with regards to the definition of al-iman. The legislative definition, al-had al-shar'i, al-had yani al-ta'rif, al-ta'rif, wa tafsirihi, and its interpretation. So the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions a beautiful benefit in the beginning, clarifying why he started this chapter, the first chapter, with this affair. So he says, hududu al-ashya'i wa tafsiruha alladhi yuwaddihuha tataqaddamu ahkamaha fa'inna al-hukma ala al-ashya'i far'un an tasawwuriha. So he mentioned, rahimahullah, that definitions, or the definition of things and their interpretations, which clarify them, it takes precedence over basing a ruling, or it takes precedence over giving a ruling or making a judgment against something. Again, he's saying you need to define something and to understand its interpretation. You need to understand the reality of something and to know what it is. This takes precedence, and this comes first and precedes making a judgment against something, or making a ruling against something. So he said, rahimahullah, because verily a judgment and a ruling upon things is stemming and proceeding from comprehending it and understanding it, yani being able to visualize it, from visualizing it. This is a principle that people of knowledge, they mention whenever we study, they will mention this affair. They say, al-hukmu ala shay far'un an tasawwurihi. Al-hukmu ala shay far'un. And to make a judgment or a ruling against something, this is stemming from or is based upon being able to visualize it. Being able to visualize it. For example, if a person who was going to study the issue of Tahara, and then he wanted to study the chapter of Al-Masḥ al-Khufayn, for example, to wiping on the socks. And he would have to be able to realize what is the khuf, what are the socks, and what is intended, and how it is done, and the period that it's done for. And he'll have to be able to visualize how it happens. Whenever one is a resident, whenever one is traveling, you have to be able to visualize in his mind. He can see this issue now. He lost his he put his shoes on he put his socks on while having wudu, and then after he had wudu, he lost his wudu, and then he made wudu, and then he wiped on his socks. Now you see how long from here can he have the wiping on the socks, so on and so forth. And just to understand. So before a person can realize how long he can do that, whether his wudu was good or not, whether his wiping was good or not, how long he can wipe, and the likes like this, he has to be able to visualize the issue first. He has to be able to visualize the issue first. So this is the case with all of the rulings and all of the affairs. And before somebody can make a judgment and rule against something, and in the deen and likewise in the dunya, before he can make that judgment properly, he has to be able to visualize the situation and to see it clearly. And then based upon that, visualizing that and seeing that, now he can comprehend it properly, and then he'll make the ruling. And inshallah, the ruling will be just and proper. Will be just and proper. So this is what he's saying here. فَمَنْ حَكَمَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُحِيطَ عِلْمُهُ بِتَفْسِيرِهِ وَيَتَسَوَّرَهُ تَسَوُّرًا يُمَيِّزُهُ تَسَوُّرًا يُمَيِّزُهُ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ أَخْطَأَ خَطَأً فَاحِشًا. So he mentioned, rahimahullah, so whoever judges against something or rules upon something from something from the affairs, before he has encompassed it in knowledge, and before he has understood the interpretation of that thing, before he has actually visualized that affair in a manner that he's able to distinguish this issue from other, from that which is similar to it and the likes, then he will make a foul mistake. He will make a foul mistake before he's able to rule in a situation, even dealing with the people, for example. Sometimes maybe you will find a person, he did something that you find to be strange. And then if you don't know why he did that, or didn't ask for his excuse, and then you ruled against him and you accused him before understanding the situation, maybe you'll have the ruling that is wrong. Maybe you'll fall into oppression. Maybe you'll fall into the wrong accusation. Maybe you'll fall into having su'van bil Muslim, having bad thoughts about a believer. Maybe the reason why he was in that circumstance has nothing to do with what the person was thinking. But because they were not able to, because they ruled upon that individual and his situation and his action or his statement before comprehending the situation he was in, this led them to making a mistake. And it could be a foul and a bad mistake. It could be a foul and a bad mistake. So before making that judgment, he should go to them, why did you do this? What is the reason for you? You know, this is kind of actually, the reality is this and this, but or the ruling is this and this. What carried you to do that? Many times we'll find this in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did you say ma hamalaka ala hada? What carried you to do that? Oh, so and so. What was the reason why you did that? Is'alhu limada yaf'alu hada. Ask him why he does that. The man who recites qul huwallahu ahad after every in every prayer and the likes like this. A number of examples in the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before ruling against a person in his situation that is contrary to what is normal, he will ask. And this is in order to comprehend, to visualize the situation so that a person can make the proper judgment. The same thing with the affair of Iman. The same thing with the affair of Iman, specifically in this book that we're studying. If a person, he didn't really understand and look at all the evidences, clarifying the details of Iman, then he will make the ruling wrong. And this is what led the Khawarij to go that way. And this is what led the Mu'tazila to go along with them, and led the Murji'a to go their way into negligence likewise, because they did not visualize the affair in entirety. They focused their eyes, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, for example, with regards to the issues of Iman, they focused their eyes on the verses of the threat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The threat, and then they had left off the text of the threat, and they left off the text related to the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah. So therefore, they did not comprehend the issue in entirety, and they focused on this issue and did not see it properly, and therefore they judged wrong, and they made a ruling that is an error and a mistake, and it's a foul way. And likewise, on the contrary, the Murji'a, they focused their eyes and their research upon the text of the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness. The vast kindness and mercy of Allah and His forgiveness, and left off the text of the threat of the punishment for the disbelievers and those who disobey. And therefore, likewise, with regards to Iman, they made a great mistake. As for Ahl Sunnah, Alhamdulillah, then they gathered all these evidences. And this is something that, although this text is very concise, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he has gathered a number of evidences. And he's specifically clarifying the details of Iman in this chapter here. And this is the proper way to look at all of these texts in the light of this issue, and then from there deriving the ruling and understanding the proper understanding and comprehending the issue in accordance to that which is correct in the light of these authentic and noble texts. So this is what the author is mentioning here in the first paragraph. Now he says, أَمَّا حَدُّ الْإِيمَانِ وَتَفْسِيرُهُ فَهُوَ التَّصْدِيقُ الْجَازِمُ فهو التصديق الجازم والاعتراف التام بجميع ما أمر الله ورسوله بالإيمان به والانقياد ظاهرا وباطنا. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions a number of definitions here. All of them are different in their wordings, but all of them they have the same meaning. So he began here with a very encompassing definition, a very encompassing and general definition. So he says, as for the definition of al-iman and its interpretation, then it is at-tasdiqu al-jazim. This is all one definition here. All these words here, all these issues, at-tasdiqu al-jazim. At-tasdiq is any belief, an affirmation in the heart, but al-jazim means certain. So therefore, the first thing is certain faith. وَالْاِعْتِرَافُ التَّامِ And to confess and to believe in completely everything that Allah and His Messenger have ordered to believe in. Everything that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered to believe in. This is the case. وَالْاِنْقِيَادُ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا And to comply to that outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly. So this is the first definition. What did he mention? How many affairs did he mention? التَّصْدِيقُ الْجَازِمِ وَالْاِعْتِرَافُ التَّامِ Any certain faith and complete confession and admittance, any belief, certain belief in everything that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered to believe in. Anything that Allah azza wa jal in His book ordered to believe in. Anything that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered to believe in that, this is al-iman. This is al-iman. And likewise to comply to that. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا And to comply to that outwardly and inwardly. To comply to that outwardly and inwardly. And he's complying to that belief. Complying to that certain faith outwardly by performing the actions that requires and necessitates. And inwardly likewise by performing the actions of the heart as well. That requires and necessitates. So this is an all-encompassing definition. Now he, rahimahullah, he will interpret this issue here in a bit more detail. So he says, فَهُوَ تَصْدِيقُ الْقَلْبِ وَاعْتِقَادُهُ المتضمن لأعمال القلوب وأعمال البدن وذلك شامل لقيام الدين للقيام بالدين كله. He said, so therefore, al-iman, it is the affirmation and the belief in the heart and its creed. The affirmation and the belief in the heart and the creed of the heart, which consists of or includes the actions of the heart and the actions of the body. The actions of the heart and the actions of the body. And this, he says, is inclusive to the establishment or including the establishment of the entire religion. So this is another definition and interpretation. The firmness or the belief in the heart and the creed in the heart. And this creed also, this faith and this creed, it consists of as well the actions of the heart and the actions of the body parts. So he says, based upon that, then therefore al-iman is something that includes the whole religion entirely. Establishing the whole religion entirety is iman. Every aspect, inside and outside. In the heart and outside, outwardly, in the actions and in the manners and the conducts and in the deeds and in the speech and likewise in the heart. This is the case. So now he's going to mention another interpretation. And again, shedding light on this affair. So he says, what he had, كان الأئمة والسلف يقولون. So based upon this, what has preceded, the imams and the salaf, they will say, الإيمان قول القلب واللسان وعمل القلب واللسان والجوارح. Now this is a bit more detail to clarify. So therefore, the imams, meaning the أئمة السنة, the imams of the sunnah and the salaf, the salaf al-salih, they will say that الإيمان قول القلب واللسان. قول القلب واللسان, the statement of the heart and the statement of the tongue. وعمل القلب واللسان والجوارح, and the actions of the heart and the actions of the tongue and the actions of the body parts. So if you want to count them, how many affairs did he mention? The statement of the heart and the statement of the tongue and the actions of the heart and the actions of the tongue and the actions of the body parts. This is what the Salaf and the Imams of the Sunnah have mentioned, that Iman. Iman consists of all of these affairs. First and foremost, what is it? Al-Imanu, Qawl al-Qalb, statement of the heart. What is a statement of the heart? The niyyah, the intention. The statement of the heart is the Aqidah, Al-Tasdiq, Wa al-Iqrar, to believe, the creed in the heart, the belief in the heart, the affirmation in the heart, the fact that he believes and he has faith. And this is the statement of the heart. And then the statement of the tongue, this one is clear. This one is clear, the statement of the tongue. The statement of the tongue. And the statement of the tongue is clear. But he's going to make a difference here any between these affairs, because he mentions also the action of the tongue. So we have a statement of the tongue and the action of the tongue. In general, they're the same thing. But here, when they're mentioned together like this, the statement of the tongue referring to the shahada specifically. The shahada specifically. The hadith will come. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, we read it. Yani the author, he will mention it, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba a'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah. That iman is 70 some odd branches, the highest branch, afdaluha wa a'laha, the statement la ilaha illallah. The statement la ilaha illallah. So that statement here, the qawl al-lisan, this is any from iman, to say la ilaha illallah. And as for qawl al-qalb, then this is the aqidah, the i'tiqad, the creed, the belief in the heart of a believer. In the heart of a believer. When the word qawl or its derivatives are mentioned in the text, what is intended is both of them. Unless there's an evidence indicating that's referring to speech. Any, for example, in this hadith, that iman is 70 some odd branches, and the highest level is qawlu la ilaha illallah. What is intended here? The statement of the tongue only? No. Why not? Because if somebody said la ilaha illallah with his tongue only, he did not say it with his heart, meaning believing it in his heart will not benefit. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Their testimony did not benefit them, although they said it with their tongue. So therefore, the tongue has to say it, and the heart has to believe it. And so this is the belief, and the heart is the statement of the heart. Is a statement of the heart. Whenever with Allah, He says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. What does that mean here? Qul. This is from qawl, from the statement. Say. Meaning saying it with your tongue. Say it with your tongue and say it with your heart. Allah, He is the one and only. So you say it with your tongue, Allah, He is the one. Allahu ahad. And you believe that. You believe that in your heart. That Allah, He is ahad. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing like Him. There's nothing resembling Him. There's nothing comparable to Him. He is the creator, and everything besides Him is creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the statement of the heart and the statement of the tongue. The statement of the tongue here is referring to the shahada. And the statement of the heart is referring to the belief, the creed. The creed. So then any qul, any bilisanika, talafudan, aw nutqan wa talafudan. Wa qul biqalbika aqidatan wa tasdiqan wa itirafan wa iqraran. Any to affirm and to believe. To affirm and to believe. This is iman. So this is the first case. The statement of the heart and the statement of the tongue. Now we have the actions of the heart. And the actions of the tongue, and the actions of the body parts. The actions of the body parts. So what is the action of the heart? Are the actions of the heart different from the statement of the heart? Yes, the actions of the heart are different from the statement of the heart. The statement of the heart is the foundation. Asluha thabit. Qawlul qalbi huwa al-asl. Qawlul qalb huwa al-asl. Al-aqidah. The tasdiq al-jazm that's in the heart, the creed that's in the heart, the belief that's in the heart, the statement of the heart, this is the foundation. Proceeding from there are branches. From those branches, there are branches that are in the heart. They are called a'mal al-qulub. A'mal al-qulub. They're the actions of the heart. And this is the ruh al-ibadah. Walubbul ibadah. This is the essence of worship. And the soul of worship and the life of worship is the worship of the heart. And the worship of the body parts that's void of the worship of the heart is not true worship. So therefore, to know these actions of the heart that proceed from the statement of the heart is very important. At the peak of the actions of the heart is love. And this is the foundation of the deen, to love Allah. To love Allah and to love what Allah loves and to love whom Allah loves. And this requires to hate likewise what Allah hates and dislikes. All of this will come in detail. This is the action of the heart, to love Allah. Alhamdulillah. You praise Him because you love Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You obey Him because you love Him. You comply to Him. You call on Him because that love, now you want to be close to Him. You hope for His mercy. You hope for His kindness. You hope for His ihsan and His goodness. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another action of the heart. Also, you're afraid that He will punish you and take you to account for your shortcomings, or that He will not accept your actions and your deeds. So therefore you fear. Based upon that love, there's hope and there's fear. There's hope and there's fear. Based upon that love, likewise, is trust and reliance. Also, that's called thiqa billah, wal istiana billah. وَالْإِسْتِيَانَ بِاللَّهِ And also there is الْإِسْتِيَاذَة. You seek refuge with Allah. You seek refuge with Allah. And that when he has خُضُوع وَالْخَشَّة, that he has humbleness and humility. الْإِسْتِكَانَة, all of these are actions of the heart. All of these are actions of the heart. Humbleness and humility and reverence, تَعْظِيم. تَعْظِيم اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And then Allah, the one he will revere Allah. And he would honor Allah, and he would magnify and glorify Allah with his heart. He would love Allah much. All of these, this is Iman. This is Iman. These are the actions of the heart. These are the actions of the heart. What do the actions proceed from? From the statement of the heart, from the creed, from the belief. So therefore, whenever that creed is strong and firm, then these actions here, they'll be the best. A person, he will pray and he will be hoping for the mercy of Allah. A person, he will call on Allah and he will rely upon Allah. He will go to work and he will go through the streets and through the market and he will do his daily deeds, trusting and relying upon Allah, that Allah will keep him safe, that Allah will turn away from him evil, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid him and facilitate for him and make it easy for him, that Allah will bless his day and put barakah in his day, and his heart will be full of the remembrance of Allah and humbleness and humility, and he coming from this great statement, kalimatan tayyibah. We understand now? Karima, tayyiba. What is a karima? It's a statement. A statement of what?
Good.
The heart. A good statement. What is it? The statement of the heart. La ilaha illallah. The creed and the belief. The creed and the belief. So now we understand the actions of the heart. After that, the actions of the tongue. The actions of the tongue. When they're mentioned together here, the statement of the tongue and the action of the tongue. Generally, it's the same thing. If they're mentioned together like this, this similar statement here like this, and our interpretation is mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah. So the people of knowledge there, they mentioned that the statement of the tongue is referring to the shahada, and the actions of the tongue are referring to the supplication and the dua, and the tasbih and the athkar, and commanding the good and forbidding the evil, and all of the statements of Al-Islam. All of the statements of Al-Islam and of Al-Iman, and from the good words and the good speech. And as for the actions of the body parts, then this is referring to all of the actions of the religion, establishing all of the actions of Al-Islam and of Al-Iman, Alhamdulillah. From here, the people of knowledge, they summarize and they say that Al-Iman is Al-Iman murakkabun min al-ilmi wal-amal. Al-Iman murakkabun min al-ilmi wal-amal. Min al-aqidah wal-sharia. Al-aqidah wal-sharia. Then Al-Iman, it is made up of knowledge and application. Knowledge and application. Knowledge and application. This is Iman. This is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was sent with, the summarization. Aqidah and Sharia. Aqidah, and the creed and belief in the heart, and Sharia, application of that. The application of that. The application of that creed and that belief. So now the author, rahimahullah, he mentions closing this definition with one last definition, and to clarify. And he says, وَهُوَ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ وَاعْتِقَادٌ وَهُوَ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ وَاعْتِقَادٌ So Iman is a statement, and it's actions, and it is creed, belief. يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَ وَيَنْقُسُ بِالْمَعْسِيَةِ وَيَنْقُسُ بِالْمَعْسِيَةِ يَزِيدُ بِالطَاعَ وَيَنْقُسُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ That it increases with obedience and it decreases with disobedience. فَهُوَ يَشْمَلُ أَقَاعِدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَخْلَاقَهُ وَأَعْمَالَهُ Now he mentioned, rahimahullah, so therefore Iman, it consists of or includes the creeds of faith, and likewise the manners and etiquettes of faith, and the actions of faith. And the actions of faith. The creeds of faith, meaning the different things that Allah has ordered us to believe in. And the belief is one, and the creed is one. There are many creeds, but there's only one true and correct creed. And al-aqaid kathira. Yani al-aqaid kathira. But only one aqidah is sahiha. Only one creed is sahih. This is the creed of Ahl-Sunnah. This is the creed of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the creed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and the creed of the scholars of hadith in the time of the tabi'een and tabi'at tabi'een in this manner. In this manner, the creed that has been transmitted from them in the books of hadith, alhamdulillah, this is the proper creed. This is the proper creed. In that one creed, there's the creed of At-Tawheed, the creed specifically related to believing in Allah azza wa jal. And likewise, there's a creed with regards to believing in the angels. There's a proper creed, the creed of the angels. And there's a proper creed with regards to believing in the books, and a proper creed with regards to believing in the prophets and messengers, and likewise in the last day, in the day of resurrection. There's a creed, aqidah, that we believe in. A believer, he believes in, a Muslim upon the straight path, he has a specific creed with regards to the day of resurrection and the day of judgment and the affairs that occur at the time of death and after that. And likewise, in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a creed, aqidah al-sunnah fi sahaba, a creed al-sunnah they have with regards to the sahaba. Specifically, the people of knowledge have clarified that, the creed of al-sunnah with regards to mu'amalat al-hukam. There's a creed and a methodology with regards to dealing with the rulers. With regards to dealing with the rulers, there's a creed that we believe in, a way that we follow with regards to that. So the word here, aqa'id, any the creeds of iman, and there's only one creed. But what he's referring to here, the different aspects of that creed. And all of these beliefs that make up the creed of Ahlus Sunnah. All of these beliefs here, this belief system here, this is the creed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions, radiallahu anhum. This is what he's referring to here. فَهُوَ يَشْمَرُ aqa'id al-iman. So iman, it consists of the creeds of al-iman, the beliefs of al-iman, wa akhlaqahu. This is a very important point, clarifying, rahimahullah ta'ala, that also iman, it consists of and includes the manners and etiquettes of faith. The manners and etiquettes of faith. Faith, al-iman, it has manners and etiquettes. The faith and iman, it has manners and etiquettes. And those believers who have strong faith, they have better manners and they have better etiquettes. And they are higher and loftier in their dealings, and they're further away from the lowly and the foul traits. And it's been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Akmalu al-mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqa." Ahsanuhum khuluqa. Then the most complete of the believers in faith, the most complete of the believers in faith are those who have the best manners. Are those who have the best manners. So therefore, the believers who have the most complete faith. And all of the believers have faith. The ones who have the most complete faith are those who have the best manners. Are those who have the best manners. The hadith continues, and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَخِيَارُكُمْ وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. And the best of you are the best to his women. And the best of you are the best to his women. An indication that from the perfection of iman and from the perfection of the faith is to perfect those manners specifically with the women, specifically with one's wife and his daughters and the likes, and his mother and the women that are under his care, and so on and so forth. All of this is from faith. So at iman, it has creed, and also at iman, it has manners and conduct. It has manners and conduct. Manners and conduct. Whenever a believer's faith is strong, his manners and his conduct will be upright and be noble. And this is whenever he understands the manners and conduct of faith. And the first manner and conduct of faith is al-ikhlas, and to make the deen for Allah. And that a person's heart is attached to Allah alone, hoping for the reward and fearing the punishment, and knowing that Allah alone, He is the one who brings good. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can bring blessing and good in this life. And no one can remove harm or difficulty or hardship except for Allah alone. So the heart will be attached to Allah with love and hope and reverence, and with fear and submission and humbleness and trust and reliance, and seeking help and seeking aid and protection in this manner. This is from the loftiest of manners. And likewise from the noble manners of faith is to be shy. Al-haya'u shu'batu min al-iman. To be shy, to be bashful. And he from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. To be shy from him, that he will see you in a place he prohibited you. Or that he will see you being negligent, performing something that he has made obligatory. So therefore a believer who will be shy to pray upon ignorance or in a heedless manner, he'll be shy to do that. And this is all from faith, and this is from the manners of faith. This is from the etiquettes of faith. And from the etiquettes of faith is that a believer, he will meet his brother with a smile on his face and be cheerful, and he'll be kind. And the likes like this. From the manners of faith is that if somebody violated somebody's right and then they apologize, that he will accept that. خُذِ الْعَفْوُ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَعَدِ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That a believer, he will accept the forgiveness and the pardon of people. And that he will be forgiving, and he'll be merciful, and he'll be kind. And the likes like this, all of this is from the manners of faith, from the etiquettes of faith. That if he's seen something that, or somebody did something that's not befitting, that he will, and he knows good about them, and what he knows from them is good, then he will have a good opinion about them, and good thoughts about them, and he will not have bad thoughts about them, and accuse them unrightfully and falsely. All of this is from faith. Ya yulidina amanu. Ijtanibu kathira min al-dhani. Inna ba'la dhani itham. And I need to stay away from this having bad thoughts about the people, because verily having bad thoughts is, some of that can be sin. All of this is from the manners of faith. All of this is from the etiquettes of faith. If a person were to fall and be short in these manners and etiquettes, then his religion will be short accordingly. And this would be because of a deficiency, in his faith, So it's very important to realize this, that a believer, he has manners that he carries himself with, that he has manner, he has a way that he walks, he has a way that he talks, he has a way that he sits. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. The people of the hellfire, they're not equal and neither to the people of paradise. Not in this life and not in the hereafter. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.